My first assignment after I was ordained was to the University of Arizona in Tucson, go Wildcats. And while I was there, I was tabling one day, and you have a little booth and people come up and ask you questions, and this one student came up to me. He was a Muslim student. His name was Tariq, and since then we've been good friends. We've both moved four times. He's in Saudi Arabia. I'm now in California, but through the miracle of the internet, we stay in touch. And one of the questions that he came to me, or one of the challenges that he had against the Bible and Christianity, he said to me, he goes, you know what? Show me in the Bible where Jesus Christ says, I am God, so fall down and worship me. Well, I said to him, you're not going to find that exact phrase in the Bible. His conclusion was, therefore, Jesus Christ is not God. I said, well, how about this? Although we can't find that exact phrase, when we look at Jesus Christ's teachings and miracles, you can see why Christians profess that Jesus Christ is God. So we see this in today's gospel. So we're in Matthew 16, and we're halfway through the gospel. Now, you got to keep in mind, if Jesus Christ came out and said, I am God, fall down and worship me, they would stone him to death instantly for blasphemy. So Jesus has to kind of slow play his hand. He has to give teachings and miracles to get people to finally figure it out. Ah, this is who this person is. So in Matthew 16, we're more than halfway through the gospel. The disciples at this point have seen many miracles. They've listened to Jesus Christ's teachings. And I can only imagine being in the presence of God was really going to affect, you know, your relationship with that person. So at this time, Jesus puts the question. He says to them, who do the people say the Son of Man is? So when I'm not with you guys and you're kind of hanging out with your buds, what are people saying? What's the word on the street regarding who I am? And they answer, some say John the Baptist, some Elisha, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So then Jesus says, I'm going to ratchet it up a little bit more, and directly says to each and every one there, he says, but who do you say that I am? This is now on you. Tell me who you think that I am. We're told in the scriptures that Peter jumps up and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, both those titles are worthy of their own homily, if not doctoral dissertation, but I want to focus on that question. Who do you say that I am? Now, to understand why we profess that Jesus Christ is God, let's look at the actions and the miracles of Jesus. In Matthew 2, we're told that he heals a paralytic. And when he heals the paralytic, he says, Jesus says, quote, child, your sins are forgiven. Now, the people listening to this said, why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins? So Jesus is accused of blasphemy because he's claiming to do what only God can do. But if Jesus' claim is true, and he's the authority to forgive sins, and he does in fact forgive sins, and only God alone can forgive sins, then what is Jesus saying? He's saying, I am God. So he doesn't say in this instance, I am God, so fall down and worship me. But through his actions, through his miracles, through his teachings, he's saying, I am God. Next, let's look at John 5. And here, Jesus heals a cripple on the Sabbath. So after healing, again, some people complain. Jesus never catches a break, right? He does all these wonderful things, and people complain. It's like, really? Anyway, so they say, you're not supposed to do this. It's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath. So Jesus responds, my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. Now, those who heard this comment wanted to kill Jesus because, quote, Jesus not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God. So in his actions, in his teachings, Jesus is making this claim of divinity. He's saying, look, I'm equal to the Father. Look, this is who I am. right? He doesn't come out and say, I am God, fall down and worship me directly, but he's speaking in a way that the people of his time and the people of his culture know exactly what he's saying. In John 8, Jesus says, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Again, he's challenged, and people say, are you greater than Abraham who died? Jesus replied, Abraham, your father rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Then they say, you're not even 50 years old. How could you have seen Abraham? Jesus responds, before Abraham came to be, I am. And we're told that they wanted to pick up stones to throw at him, which is the penalty for blasphemy. How could Jesus have been before Abraham, who lived 2,000 years before him, right? And then Jesus takes the I am name in reference to himself. Now remember, when Moses is going to talk to Pharaoh on behalf of God, Moses says to God, okay, I'll go do it, but what's your name? He asked that because Pharaoh and the Egyptians were polytheists. So if he showed up and said, God has a message for you, Pharaoh's going to say, oh yeah, which one? So Moses says, what's your name? And God says, I am. I am. It's not really a name, it's just being. We don't know God's name. He says, I am. So when Jesus takes this title upon himself and says, I am, the people of his time and culture understand exactly what he's doing. He is making a claim to be divine. In Mark 14, Jesus is asked by the high priest, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Jesus answers and says, I am. We just talked about that. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. We're told that the high priest will tear his garments and he will say, what further witnesses do we need? You've heard the blasphemy for yourself. To understand the charge of blasphemy, you need to go to Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, the prophet Daniel is given a vision of heaven. And in Daniel 7, he talks about God under the title Son of Man. He says it again and again and again, Son of Man. So, in one sentence, Jesus is taking two divine titles for himself. He uses the I Am title for himself and the Son of Man. And the people realize this, and they want to put him to death for blasphemy. There are lots of others, but you want to get out of here before lunch, I'm assuming. So let me just look at one more. I want to look at Doubting Thomas in John 20. St. Thomas was one of the original apostles. He saw the miracles. He saw the teachings. He ran away when the crucifixion came around. And he was the one that wasn't there when Jesus appeared to the other 11 disciples. And he says, until I put my fingers in his hands and my hand into his side, I will not believe. So Jesus says, really? Okay. So now Jesus is standing right in front of him. And he says to him, he says, okay, Thomas, here are my hands. Here are my side. And we're told this very powerful statement that Thomas says. Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Jesus doesn't say, you know, Thomas, you got it wrong. What he does say to him is, you have come to believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. My Lord and my God. So in conclusion, you can search the Gospels and you will never find the phrase, I am God, so fall down and worship me. But throughout the Gospel, Jesus' teachings, the titles he gives to himself, the miracles that he performs, lead you to come to a conclusion. You can reject it and, you know, walk away and want to stone him to death. You know, even today you can say, I don't believe this Christianity thing. Or you can look at what's happening and say, yes, my Lord and my God, and enter into the saving relationship with Jesus Christ.